Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
I just want to share briefly a couple of stories, two stories about two different people that had two different appointments. One is found in Luke chapter 19. It's the story of a small man who had a big appointment. In verse 1, it says that Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. But he wanted to see who Jesus was. But the short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. And since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Right now. Get down here. Because I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus, we have an appointment. You may not have planned on it, but we have one anyway. So he came down, and at once he welcomed him gladly. The other person is a totally different story. It's found in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, I won't read the entire passage, it's rather lengthy. But in verse 4 of this story about a Samaritan woman, the scripture says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And as the story goes on, what we discover is there is a Samaritan woman who at the sixth hour, a different time than when most women would go to take water, carried her water jars, her empty jars, toward the well that Jacob had dug centuries before. And when she arrives at the well, she sees a man sitting at the well. It was not the place that men hung out. This was the place where women liked to hang out. It was the place where women would be talking about the day's business or carrying on about their family or showing pictures of their children. And she shows up to this well. No one is there. She hopes that no one is there because she has a past. She has baggage. There's baggage in her life, and she's walking to the well alone. And when she arrives there, she sees a man sitting on the edge of the well. He had been waiting. It wasn't because he couldn't get his own water. As a matter of fact, he was right there by the water, but he was waiting for someone, not something. See, that Samaritan woman had an appointment that day. And she didn't know when she put those pots on her shoulders, as she was walking all alone thinking about her life and her future, that she had an appointment with the Son of God sitting next to a well that she had gone to day after day after day after day. She had an appointment. Now, I want you to understand something. I didn't plan anything that's occurred in this service today. I didn't say, "Mother Summers, would you please just begin to prophesy what God is speaking through your life?" I did not ask her for that. I didn't ask Scott to blow that shofar. And some of you are like, "What in the world?" When the people of God would get ready to see the cities fall before them, you know what they would do? Would rally together, and instead of launching missiles, they would begin to lift up praise unto God. And that the trumpet call, you heard the trumpet sound this morning. at that trumpet, the people of God would rise up. Because there was an appointment that was to be heralded at that moment where God's about to pick the walls from the 20-foot heights down to nothing. God had an appointment with the people of God. It was a signal that there was an appointment. The time had come. All week I have been praying, God, give me the words. What am I supposed to tell the people? And he said, it's not your appointment that they're waiting for. It's mine. So I tell you this morning. You may have come in and you're thinking, scratching your head, if this is your first time in our church, look, this is us. We allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants. I'm not in charge. I just try to keep us on the rails. The Holy Spirit is the one who's in charge. I guard the church with the reproof of the Scriptures and the Bible, but the Holy Spirit is the one who sends us down the track. An appointment for some of you today in this house. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He was wealthy. But something inside his heart was not satisfied. Because the Scripture says that he wanted to see Jesus. I've heard these stories. I've heard them for a long time. Heard what Jesus has done to this blind man down in near Bethsaida. I've heard what Jesus did up on the hills in Galilee, feeding all those people. I got to take a look. Who is this guy? Because I've done all my life, and by the world's standards, my life is a success. There's something inside of me that still I'm searching and I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. That woman came to that well that day. She was on the other side of that coin. No one considered her successful. No one thought of her as the pattern of a person that you wanted to be like. No mother told her daughter, hey, you see that girl going right there? That's the kind of life you need to have. That's the person you need to look after. That's who you need to become like. No one said that about this woman. Because her past was sordid. It was checkered. She carried those pots to that well every day, thinking about all of the failures and the mistakes that she had made. And she knew in her own life that there was something in her that could not be quenched. Yet she traveled to the well every day to try to fix what her body craved so much. What she didn't realize is that the physical she had was really just the surface of the spiritual thirst that she had. Two people, two different sides of the coin, two different pictures of what life would be like, whether you're successful or whether you have made so many failures and mistakes. People have kind of shunned you to the side. They called you names when you left the room. Jesus has an appointment with them. They have the same needs. Different people, same needs. Zacchaeus, he wanted to see if this Jesus that he had heard about was who everybody said he was. This Samaritan woman had this need of thirst that she didn't realize could be quenched by only one source, and it wasn't found at the bottom of Jacob's well. Zacchaeus planned on his meeting. He knew that if he could get to Jesus, like that woman that reached out for the cloth or the bottom hem of Jesus' garment, like her, he knew that if he could just get to Jesus, if I can see him, it will change everything about my life. If I can just touch him, if I can see him, he knew it was a planned appointment. Some of you have come here to this church today and you have thought to yourself, if I can just get into the presence of God, if I can just find some peace, if I can just move in there where it begins to lead us, and I will shut everything out, the distractions and whatever issues I may have, if I can just get to Jesus, this week is going to vanish and fade into history, because that's where it's at. It's in the presence of Jesus. My life changes. If I can just get to Jesus. It was a planned meeting. He wanted to be there. Some of you came and you walked in this house, and I could tell when you showed up, you had the fire already lit. That firecracker was ready to pop. Some of you came in, you were ready. In the prayer room, when I was in there praying, there was some people praying, seeking the face of God. And I knew today is one of those days where people, there's some people who came to the house of God ready to see the glory of the Lord displayed and in power. Thank God for that. You came because you have an appointment. You want to see him. Some of you are like that Samaritan. You put your keys in your car. You drove down the same street you've been before. Or maybe you've driven here today and you've been out of church for several weeks. You've been out for months. But you're looking for a church. A place where you can not just hear about what God used to be. There's a lot of people who just hear about the God used to be. The God that once did miracles way back when. The God of my grandma and generations past, but they have let God die in their own church because that's the God of yesterday, but he's not the God of today. He doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't work that way anymore. His power is not seen like that anymore. You see, we have become refined and we've become intellectual and we have domesticated the presence of God. So that when you come to church, too many of us, we can predict exactly what's going to happen. We know the song, we know the prayer, we know the scripture that's going to be read, and we know what time we're going to get out, so you can set your appointment with everybody else at El Matador to get your enchiladas at the same time because God ain't going to do nothing different. Some of you, your appointment is more about what lunch you're going to eat today than the presence of God that you're going to nourish your spirit on as you sit in this service this morning. She came with no planned appointment. You came today, you had no idea you would walk into a place like this. You thought, well, that's just another church. It seems good to me. They preach the Bible. They sing well. Let's just go do our thing. Let's fulfill our spiritual duty and check it off for a week, and maybe we'll make God happy. But my friends, what actually is you walked into your appointment this morning? You didn't even know that you had one, and you showed up to appointment on time because God set that appointment. Bible said Jesus was sitting on the edge of the well, waiting. He's waiting. How long has the Lord been waiting on you? How long has he been waiting for you? Because there is an appointment that you have had. And every excuse that you can imagine has been used. But today, you got ambushed because you didn't know it was coming. But he's been waiting all week for you. Within 24 hours at our service last week, three people in or connected to our church within 24 hours came up and they said, Pastor, we need your prayers because this week we have found out that the greatest enemy now facing us in our life is the C word, cancer. Within 24 hours, it took the first 12 hours for me to realize this is not a coincidence. And I said, God, there is a spiritual attack coming against some of our people. Because here's the news. Your greatest challenges in life are not the physical things. It's not the sickness that you battle. It's the heaviness on your spirit that sickness may bring. It's hearing the word cancer that weighs upon your spirit and sucks the joy right out of your life. That reduces the hope, your hope and faith to a minimum. It's that heaviness that you struggle against. It's your spirit is under the attack. It's not just your body. It's your spirit. The enemy wants to destroy you, body, soul, and spirit. And he'll do any way he can to try to do that. But today, you've got an appointment, because you might have had a doctor's appointment last week or the week before, but you have a heavenly great physician appointment today. They didn't know about it. She didn't know about it. She hadn't planned on this appointment. She had no idea. And you will deal with hindrances. To get to your appointment today, you had to deal with some things. The Bible says Zacchaeus was a short man. We used to sing and he was a wee little man. He was short. He didn't ask for it. But guess what? He's just short. There are things in your life that you did not ask for. Come on. You did not plan on being 45 years old and being in this situation that you're in right now. You didn't plan on those two failed marriages, but here you are. You didn't plan on growing up in a home where parents didn't acknowledge worth that you have. There are things that have happened in all of your lives that are outside of your control. Things that keep you from trying to reach Jesus. Can I just release you from just that heaviness? Don't try to control the things that you can't control. Let God control those things. Because when God makes an appointment, He will see that you make that appointment. Okay. When God sets the appointment, He will make sure that you have the ability to make that appointment. He will not let circumstances in your life veer you away, keep you from being able to meet with Him and to see Him and coming into your house and into your life. God will make sure He'll see you to that appointment. Stop saying, "I didn't ask for this." No one asked for those things. I just, for you, Lord. Samaritan woman, her hindrance was a little bit different. It wasn't that she was born short. It's that she had bought in to religion that was dead. And she sits and she comes to the well as Jesus sits. She begins a conversation with Him after her suspicions are over. She's waiting for this man who's at a place where most women would be. She's waiting for him to come with a pickup line. I mean, think about it. You've got a man where most women are going to be, and she's suspicious. And as she opens up the conversation with Jesus, she begins to debate Him about her religious system. Some of you are having to climb over, even this morning, how God does things. Because all you've been told is like what I said before, God doesn't do those things anymore. This woman was bound up. The reason why this woman had so many failed marriages, the reason why she'd been with so many men, is because she had really not ever dealt with what the problem was in her own life. You see, what we like to do is we like to deal with the what. What is the issue? What is it going through? And we go to counselors and psychologists and they say, here's the what. But the real issue is the why. Jesus was a why thinker, not a what thinker. He's like, I can fix the what anytime, but I want you to realize the why. Why is it that you're coming here? Why is it that you're so broken? Why is it your life is in such a disarray? It's because there is a thirst within you. There's a thirst. We think that whole conversation that Jesus had with that Samaritan woman, and you know the story, it's all about water. Because Jesus says, if you'll drink this water, it's really not about the water. It's about the thirst. Because of the conversation that he and this Samaritan woman have, not one person in the middle of all this discussion about water, does anybody take a drink? Read the story yourself. Nobody takes a drink. It's because it wasn't about the thirst of the tongue or the mouth. It was the thirst of the soul. And God has brought you to an appointment today, and He will see to it that you make that appointment. Because, and I'm going to just wrap it up with this, He's been expecting you. Oh, come on, Pastor. That's pre-speak. No, friends. He's been expecting you. He's been expecting you. I said, He's been expecting you. Can I say it again? He's been expecting you. Even as you sit and you try to pacify your time and distract yourself from my words, and you're just looking at your clock right now, He has been expecting you today. You know why I know this? It's because the scripture says in Luke chapter 19, it says that Zacchaeus ran because of the crowd he couldn't see. And he lifted up his eyes over the hindrances, over the things that limited him, over his vision. And he looked up, and what did he see? He saw a tree. Now, I don't know about a sycamore fig tree, but I know this. It didn't get planted that day. Somebody, somewhere along the way, planted that tree. Not realizing what they were really doing was confirming that appointment that Zacchaeus and Jesus had on that dusty road through Jericho that day. See, He's been expecting you because in your life, some of you dealing with circumstances right now, there have been trees planted in your past that you didn't even know were planted. And all this time, they've been growing and they've been getting stronger and the roots have gotten deeper. And what is going to happen is you are going to climb into that tree that is planted long time ago in order for you to take this appointment day to see Jesus. He's been expecting you. He's been waiting at the well for you. There is an appointment for you at the tree to see Jesus. The unique thing is this. There was also another appointment that was to take place at a tree. Jesus had an appointment with a tree. Before He even carried that tree through the streets of Jerusalem, that tree had been planted, it had been cut down, and it then was placed upon His back. And as His bloody, beaten body dragged it through the streets of Jerusalem, Jesus marched toward Calvary because there was an appointment that He had. That He had made with all of us an appointment where He would take the sins of our life, the failures and the mistakes and the terrible words and the terrible things that we had done, the times that we had gone back on our word, the times that we had cursed God because of the dilemmas we found ourselves in, the circumstances that we said, God, I hate You, I doubt You, I don't believe in You. He walked that tree up that mountain that day because He had an appointment with you. And as they lifted man that was attached to that tree by those nails in his hands and his feet, and as he hangs suspended between heaven that loved him and a world that rejected him, Jesus fulfilled His appointment today. He waits for us again. You can go to that appointment today. And whether it's forgiveness or healing or rest, you find it. As I close with my message, that's all I've got. I want you to take a moment as Bridget sing that last song again. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart this morning. There is an appointment that's been made for some of you. It was scheduled before the news of last week and before the news of of this past month, before the tragedy that occurred this past year, there's an appointment that has been made for you. And for some reason why God chose this day, I don't know, but he did. And he says, I want you to come. I want you to be here. And I want to touch you today. You've heard the voice of the Lord. A couple of occasions, he's calling us. He wants us to come. Come. And bear your heart to the Lord. See him for who he is. That weight that you've been carrying, the jars that you think that you can fill with the water of this world and life and all of the other things, they've not satisfied that heaviness. You can set that down and you can hear the voice of Jesus say, you know what? If you will just find the water that I can give, you'll never thirst again. That unsatisfaction that's in your heart, some of you have tasted that before, but you have dried up. Your spirit has come dehydrated because you have missed too many appointments. Today, he said, my calendar's open. I want to meet with you today. The important time about this morning in church has not and will not be the music, has not be the sermon. It will be the time that we have in the next few minutes before noon that you can participate. And you can engage in the presence of God, and you can come and you can fill the altar or find a place of prayer. And this place can become the place that God appointed to visit today in your life. Let's bow our heads this morning. Lord, I give it to you today, Lord. I give it to you today, Lord. What you want to do this morning, Lord, is all up to you. Lord, I know that you have called people, Lord, to this place this morning. That you have intended them to be here, Lord. Not to hear us, not to hear a sermon, or to hear a song, but you've come to meet with them today, Lord. And I pray that God, that appointment, Lord, would be kept. You're all we need. And I pray, Lord God, that you would satisfy that need this morning in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.